Okay, so tonight we're going to be looking at John chapter 13. This is a very poignant chapter. It has a great deal of stuff in it that shows the character of Jesus, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, by the time of supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took a towel and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you don't understand now, but afterward you will know." "You will never wash my feet, ever," Peter said. Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Well then, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." "One who has bathed," Jesus told him, "doesn't need to wash anything except his feet. But he's completely clean. You're clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, "You're not all clean." The meaning, when Jesus had washed their feet, he put on his robe. He reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. This is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. I assure you, a slave is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled. The one who eats my bread has raised his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I assure you, whoever receives anyone I send receives me. And the one who receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, "I assure you, one of you will betray me." The disciples started looking at one another, uncertain which one he was speaking about. One of his disciples, the one Jesus loved, was reclining close beside Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him to find out who it was he was talking about. So he leaned back against Jesus and asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus replied, "He's the one I give the piece of bread to after I have dipped it." When he had dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. After Judas ate the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Therefore, Jesus told him, "What you're doing, do quickly." None of those reclining at the table knew why he told him this. Since Judas kept the money bag, some thought that Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. After receiving the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Children, I'm with you a little while longer, and you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I tell you, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I've loved you, you must also love one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Lord, Simon Peter said to him, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you'll follow later. Lord, Peter asked, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replied, will you lay down your life for me? I assure you, a rooster will not crow until you've denied me three times. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to understand what it says and help me as I explain it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have now come in to that time frame. As I told you, John starts to compress. In the beginning, he would have chapters that might cover weeks, and there might be months between the chapters. Now we have chapters 13 through 17 that cover the night he was arrested. That's all. It has this chapter that talks about washing of feet, predicting betrayal, being his preparation for departure, and then as we move on, we'll have the Lord's Supper, we'll have other things and so on like that, and then he goes to Gethsemane and he gets ready for his trial, and then in 18, we'll have him arrested, and in 19, he gets crucified. But it's very interesting to see this. These chapters are mostly teaching and reminding of the teaching that he had done previously. He's preparing for his departure because he knows he's going to be gone and they're going to be left all alone. They won't have anybody to ask questions. They won't have anybody to explain things to them. They will have the Holy Spirit, and they will have to learn how to hear and understand the Holy Spirit. So he starts out by washing their feet. This is to teach them humility and service. In other Gospels, we have places where he talks about the fact that if you go to a banquet, you should not start out by going straight to a high place. You should go to the lowest possible place, because then the person will come to you and will say, oh no, move up, and you get honored. And you get moved to where you belong, and you won't be. But if you're too far up, you'll get moved down, and that'll be very embarrassing. So he says you need to understand humility and service. He says in various places around the Gospels that the servant is going to be master of all, because that's what Jesus was. He was the suffering servant. He came to serve people. The disciples were very self-seeking. They were constantly trying to get themselves into a position of power. They wanted to be the one who was in charge. Judas wanted to steal. But they were very self-seeking. Foot washing was a needed thing, because you would go and they would have public baths, and you would go in and you would wash yourself completely. So now you're completely washed. And you put on your clothes and you put on your sandals and you walk outside and your feet are dirty instantly, because these were dirt roads. So now you get somewhere and you're clean head to about your ankles. And you need to have foot washing because it needs to be cleaned. Peter's reaction was, no, that's a servant's job. And you're not going to do that because you're our master. But everybody needs washing. So Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me. And he said, well, then wash my whole body if that's good for me and everything. Jesus says, you don't need that. You just need to have your feet washed. Now, the actual explanation for this is very simple. We go to God, we say, oh, I've done this or I've done that or whatever, and we confess to God and we pray and we get close to God and we're all completely fine. And then we walk out the door and we go into the world and we start picking up stuff. And so every now and again, we need to get our feet washed because we have to be in the world but not of the world. So he says to them, everybody needs foot washing every now and again. And then he asks them, do you get this? I'm your master and I've washed your feet. You should therefore wash each other's feet because you should have such love for each other that you take care of each other. So then he begins to predict his betrayal. He says one of the 12 is going to betray him. Now they just freak out when he says this. Who is it? Who would do such a thing? Now this actually is to fulfill scripture. It says that the one who's been at the table with me has raised his heel against me. And this is from Psalm 41, verse 9. That's from David when he was leaving Jerusalem during the rebellion of Absalom. And his advisor, Ahithophel, stayed behind and began advising Absalom because he just wanted to be where he would have power. But he made an error. And God, and if Absalom had listened to Ahithophel, he would have won the war. But he didn't. He listened to his young friends. And then Ahithophel realized, no, I should have gone with David. So he went out, set his affairs in order, and hung himself because he knew he had betrayed David. Jesus does not want them to be shocked when this happens. So it says when he gave the bread to Judas, the devil entered him. Now you see, in the beginning, it says that the devil had led him to make preparations for the betrayal. But it says that when he took the piece of bread, the devil entered him. And so now he's 100% working for the devil. He's not coming back. So the disciples think, well, he's just going out to buy supplies. Maybe he's getting stuff that we need for the festival. Maybe he's getting stuff for the poor or what, who knows. So then he says that he's about to leave. And they're not understanding this. And they're saying, he says, you can't come with me. Where I'm going, you can't come. Now they could. But he didn't want them to. What he meant was he was about to die. And so then he says, I'm going to give you a new command. And the new command is love one another. He says people will know you by this. And historically we know that is true. People knew the Christians because they had love for people they didn't even know. Strangely enough, they were the first anti-abortionists, even though it was an actual abortion. People would have children and decide they didn't like them. Maybe they were disabled. maybe they wanted a boy and they got a girl, or who knows what. But they would do what they call exposing them. And that was, they just stick them out on a rock somewhere, let them die. Mm. Either the elements would kill them or a wild animal would come get them, whatever. And the Romans found this to be completely acceptable. Well, no, he doesn't like that kid, so we just stick him out and, you know, we can make more. But the Christians would go out and they would get the babies. And they would take them in and they would raise them. And so they started the first orphanages and they started the first medical clinics. And this was all stuff that people are going, why are you doing this? When you had the plagues, they would go out and they would help people. And half the time, they'd wind up getting a plague while they're helping people with the plague. And they're going, why are you doing this? But this actually caused Christianity to grow because they said, we need to be like that. That's the way we ought to be. They were actually cut to their heart because they said, Christians are like this and we should be like this. So then Peter says, I'm ready to die for you. Big talk. Jesus says, no, you're not. And by tomorrow morning, the cock will crow three times. Well, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Now, this is very interesting. I actually have a sermon that I put together about this. Because Peter was not afraid to die. He says, oh, I'll die for you. What Peter was afraid of was living for him. See, dying's easy. You just do it. I know. I've been in a place where I thought I was going to die. And it's like, okay, Lord, just don't let this hurt too much, okay? I know where I'm going. I know it's going to be fine. You know, dying's easy. Living is hard because you have to go through all kinds of crap and you have to take all kinds of crap. Living is not easy. And that's what Jesus was telling him. You're not ready to die for me. You won't do it. And then when he goes to the garden, Peter whips out a sword and he's going to fight them all. He's ready to die right now. And Jesus says, don't you think I can send for 12 legions of angels if I wanted to? This is what's supposed to happen. Put down the sword. Now he's completely bewildered. He doesn't know what to think. And so when they start asking him if he's not one of them, he's going, no, I'm not one of them. No. Because I don't know what's up anymore. So what does this all mean to us? Well, we need humility and service. That's just the way that we should be. This is how people should identify us as being Christians. Sometimes, and I've had this happen to me very often in various jobs, people will say, you're a sucker. People are taking advantage of you. Okay, so they think I'm a sucker. But I've got people who are true friends because I was there. I had a friend who, he made fun of me. He wasn't, you know, anything. He thought that I was just, you know, this weird person. And he got caught driving drunk. Now, this is in the Philippines, so they can just pack him up and ship him back to the United States if they want to. What they did was they kicked him out of COPS and sent him to the drunk tank. And the only person who ever visited him was me. All of his friends didn't go. But I did. And he's going, why are you doing this? I'm going, because you're in here and nobody's visiting you. And I'm coming over to visit you and to tell you that I care. Well, then one day, all of a sudden, he shows up with his new commanding officer, who was a full colonel. He'd been shifted to civil engineering because he was a master carpenter before he came in the Air Force. And so I'm saying to his commander, "Oh, hi, Forrest, how's it going?" And he comes over and says, "That guy's a colonel. Didn't you know he's a colonel?" I said, "Yeah, here. Here, he's Forrest Dupree, my buddy. On base, it's salutes, hi, colonel, and all this kind. But here, we're brothers." And Milton didn't understand it. But we went over and we talked to him. And we explained Christianity to him. And he didn't give his life to Christ. But then my pastor went over and probably explained it better than I did. Who knows? But he did give his life to Christ because he'd been thinking about what I'd told him. But the biggest thing he always said was, "I treated you so badly, and yet you treated me with love. I don't get this." And I'm going, "Well, if you're going to be Christian, you're going to have to get it, because that's a part of it. We all need cleansing. We may only need to have our feet washed, but we all need cleansing. We'll all have all these little things that we have to take care of in our lives. Even our best friend may let us down. I've had that happen to me many, many times."
"She'll never let me down."
"Yeah."
"No, she won't. She never will."
"Well, that's because you're both Christians. And that's the way we do it. Jesus will never let you down. And that's the thing to remember. No matter what, he's always, always there. That's the thing I keep forgetting and I had to keep having Pat remind me of. Never forget that we have the Holy Spirit, who Jesus left with us to make that connection back to him. Holy Spirit has all the same answers Jesus does. And just like Jesus, he's not going to tell us all of them. He's going to let us figure some of this out ourselves. Jesus will be back. Guarantee it. And lastly, we think we're ready to stand for him. But we'll only know for sure when the time comes. We always say, "Oh, I'll stand up for Jesus," and so on like that. Don't be arrogant about it. Hopefully we will.
I question that all the time.
Exactly.
Am I going to be ready? Am I ready for this?
Yes.
If that happened today, what would I do? Would I step up and go,
Well, they say, you know, if being a Christian becomes a crime, are you ready to be a criminal?
Well, I've always been up for that.
Oh, yeah. That's, once again, that wouldn't be much of a difference for me, would it? You know, I've always been in that kind of stuff. But when the time comes, Jesus will be there for us. We may think we're not going to make it, but if we totally rely on him, we will. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being here tonight. We ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us as we go back out into the world and get dirty for you, and then clean us again. Help us to be your voice in this area and to lead people to know you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
We'll be back next week.